Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. We are in Sandeha Nivarini, and it is so beautiful to listen to Bhagwan reflect our doubts. He asking the same questions which we would while walking on the spiritual path. He trying to voice our concerns and in a lucid manner explaining the nuances of spirituality, explaining the principles of walking on the spiritual path. We are in chapter 3. In the previous episode, we took the first segment of chapter 3 of Sandeha Nivarini, 3.1 as we called it. And in that, Bhagwan started explaining the difference between antar prapancha, bahya prapancha, outer world, inner world. Bhagwan talked about the screen and the images which come and go on the screen. Bhagwan talked about many spiritual precepts which are the foundations of spiritual thought. Bhagwan continues that same narration, the discussion continues. There Bhagwan talked about what is kshara, aksharam, nityam, anityam. And then he came into the concept of form and name. In fact, we stopped there in the previous episode. In this current episode, we are going to take on the next segment of chapter 3 of Sandeha Nivarini. And as you listen to this, and as we spend time contemplating on this, and unraveling in our little ways whatever we can understand, this will not only give us so much clarity, but will also fill us with courage to walk on this path with joy. So let us listen to what Bhagwan has written in Sandeha Nivarini, segment 3.2.
Where there is form, there must be name, and where there is name, there must be form. Both these are connected with each other. We refer to this relationship as avinabhava sambandham. Have you understood now the meaning of prapancham?
I have grasped that it is identified with name and form. But Swami, I would like to hear you describe how it originated.
You should not fall into the tangle now. If we engage ourselves in describing that, it would be like getting into a mango tope and without eating the fruit we have plucked, calculating the number of trees in the garden, the number of twigs on each branch, the number of fruits on each twig, and estimating total price of all the mangoes if the price of one mango is so much. Instead of senselessly wasting precious time in the collection of this information, we should, like the person who eats the fruit, find out what is of primary importance. And understanding that thing first, attain contentment and joy. Leave that alone. Earlier you asked about the nature of this prapancham. This prapancham has another name too. Do you know?
I said that the prapancham is identified with name and form. I have heard that it is known by another name, Jagat.
This Nama Rupa Prapancham, this Jagat is like Indrajala or magician's art, real only as long as you see it. So too the world is real only so long as you experience with your indriyas or senses. That is to say, anything not experienced in the wakeful stage is taken as non-existent. Under such circumstances we say Sat for existence and Asat for non-existence. Therefore, what do you say of this world? Is it Sat or Asat?
It exists in experience in the wakeful stage, and so it is Sat. It does not exist in the deep sleep stage, and so it is asat.
Oh, sat, asat, did you say? When these two words are added, we get sadasat, isn't it? This is what is spoken of by us as maya. Do you know?
Is that maya similar to magic?
Is it not? Indrajalam idam sarvam. All this is the magician's work. That is, as the rishis have been saying since ages, this whole world is full of maya.
Then there must be a performer for all this Indrajala, isn't it?
Certainly there is. That magician is God. He is endowed with countless auspicious attributes. The Maharshis have formed a name on the basis of each attribute and a form on the basis of each name and attained realization, meditating on those forms, making the attributeless attributeful and the formless formful. Is it not their experience that is being proclaimed through a thousand tongues in the world? In the Shastras, Vedas and the Upanishads, have they not declared how they have realized God in their Dhyana Samadhi? Each in his own way, according to his attitude, devotion and worship. How each has been blessed with the vision of the Lord and the actual consummation of union with him?
Yes, Swami, I have understood that. But you said that name and form are based on attributes. Kindly explain this to me.
Certainly. We must now pay attention to such important topics, only because the others are beyond your powers of imagination. Listen carefully. Since the Lord pleases all, He is known as Rama. So also He is Prema Swarupa, the embodiment of love. He is Bhaktavatsala, full of affection to his devotees. He is Kripa Sagara, ocean of mercy. In each such name and form, he has vouchsafed Sakshatkara to Bhaktas and blessed them with Sayujya. The formless God assumes all forms in order to bless the devotees.
I am happy. I am indeed so happy, Swami. Through your grace, I am understanding quite clearly.
So that is what Bhagwan has gifted us to contemplate on in this episode of Vahini Satsang. And by His grace, like in the previous episode of Vahini Satsang, I have with me brothers Srinivas Rao and Brother K.M. Ganesh. Brother Srinivas Rao works in Bhagwan's hospital in Prashantanilayam, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. And Brother K.M. Ganesh pursues postdoctoral research in Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashantanilayam campus. So welcome, brothers, once again for this session of Vahini Satsang.
Sairam, brother.
Sairam, 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 brother.
So, we are still in the Prapancham.
Very much.
And in the
no
Indra.
Escape.
No escape.
And we are with the Lord in this Prapancham.
Yes.
We are not alone to
fight. We are with the
ourselves.
Paramatma.
Yes.
And we are in this Indrajalam.
Extremely lucky.
Absolutely.
Lucky to be closer to his lotus feet so that yes. We are out of the jalam.
In fact, that reminds That's, me yeah. of that fish story, right?
Yes.
You remember the fish story where a fisherman, when he goes to the sea and casts the net to catch the fish, every time he casts the net, there are a few fish who always escape. They always manage to not be caught by the fishermen. And the secret about this privileged, lucky group of fishes is every time the fishermen put the net out on the sea, they knew that he is going to stretch his hand and throw the net outside. And these lucky, intelligent fishes would swim close to the feet of the fisherman.
Okay, okay.
And they will stay there.
Yes, I remember now. Swami used to give this example.
Yes. And by virtue of being at the feet, very close to the fisherman, they never get caught.
But here I will see it the other way also.
Hmm.
This is the net cast by Lord himself.
Yes.
So yes. We would like to be trapped in this and we should not escape this and fall into the world again.
Yes. It is a net cast by the Lord. Absolutely. I mean, the whole world is that beautiful.
That's what it's called, Indrajalam.
Indrajalam. Yes. It is a beautiful creation.
Yeah, that's what the devotee asks here. Yes. Who is the performer of this Indrajalam?
Who is the performer? And yes. He says, yes.
And Swami says, it is the Lord himself.
The Lord himself, yeah.
Because Swami himself says, na, Maya Nataka Sutradhari.
Yes, absolutely.
Behind this Maya Nataka, he is the string puller.
He is the string puller, absolutely. He is the Sutradhari, the director, orchestrator. Yes.
So, many people were trapped in Maya. And their general experience, if they see that it is more of sorrow and suffering, they start questioning why Lord in the first place has created this Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Why has he done this?
Mm. But for that, you won't ask that question.
Yeah, if not, yeah. Actually, pain is a boon in disguise because when we are in pain, we look towards God.
Yes.
Otherwise, because, we'll be too lost in the comfort zone.
Probably it was God's experience also. A bad experience that the man doesn't think of him when everything is given to him.
Yes.
Yes.
And only when it is denied or when he is in little bit
given and taken away.
Yes. Then he seeks refuge.
In fact, today I was reading a discourse where Bhagavan very beautifully said one statement about this pleasure and pain, which is pretty revealing. Swami said, when pain fructifies and gives its fruit, it becomes pleasure. So the boon of pain is pleasure. See, we all the time abhor pain, saying that I don't want it. But the secret to having more pleasure is welcoming the pain.
Yeah.
Because here, Swami said, the fruit of pain is pleasure. Yeah.
So the attitude is important of acceptance when you're going through. Otherwise, it is suffering. Swami said many times, pain undi kani suffering led. This we have heard
Swami
many
used
times.
To give the example of Draupadi who used
Absolutely.
To pray
yes.
that she should always have trouble so that she can think
Mother
of
Kunti.
Kunti.
Mother Kunti.
Sorry. Kunti.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, she definitely, being the mother of the wise five, was wisdom herself, who knew the secret.
In fact, in some of the simplest saying of Swami, you know, the answer is, Swami says, I separated myself from myself to love myself.
Yes.
And then the whole purpose of the Maya is defined and is answer is given.
Mm.
For what? To love myself.
To love.
It is he loving himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember...
There's nothing else.
A brother who was serving Bhagwan at very close quarters for many years. So one day in the interview room, he was sitting with Bhagwan and it was a very quiet moment. There was no one, only Bhagwan and him. And he thought he should probably take this opportunity to ask something which in the normal circumstances you won't have the chance to ask Swami.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Swami, why this creation, Swami? Why this creation? And Swami just looked at him, thought for a while, and said, Love ho sakta hai. Love ho sakta hai.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It is love. As Bhagwan used to use Hindi, the way it is spoken in Hyderabad, Ho sakta hai, Swami used to say. But
possibility is love. He's wanting him to introspect and get. Yes, but he has given a very... He's given the answer.
Answer.
But he wants it to come from
himself. I was reminded of this because...
Why did Swami say ho sakta hai? Why didn't he say it surely? Yes, you are right actually. Swami wants him to contemplate on that. And
and it will come from within as an insight.
Yeah, it should come from us.
Love ho sakta.
But he has given the right... clue.
Direction, to think now on those.
Direction lines. And the answer also.
Nothing more than love, nothing beyond love. You can count
because,
only love at the end.
Correct.
Ultimately, all the spiritual quests end with that as the goal.
Mm.
That is the culmination point of everything. So if you see what Bhagwan has given us in this segment, so Bhagwan starts off by talking about Prapancham. And what is Prapancham? Prapancham is everything that has a name and form. So with that, the entire gamut of whatever is there around us comes into being, comes into definition. So everything that is name and form is prapancham. And when the bhakta asks, so Swami, how it all originated, Swami says, don't get into that because perhaps you are too raw to even grasp that. Swami says, you spend time on understanding what you have to understand. What is the, where focus your energies on, where you should focus your energies to get more contentment and joy. Don't spend your time on futile pursuits.
Correct. In fact, Swami has told, when you are reading Ramayana, you try to grasp the Rama Rasa, the Karuna Rasa of the Lord. Don't try to measure the length of the bridge that Rama built. Okay. Or how many trees, or what are the thickness of the tree that Rama shot the arrow.
Means
if you get into those details.
Yes.
So it is not the right thinking and deep thinking, both are important. Wrong. This is wrong thinking and the wrong direction.
Absolutely.
The right question is a very important thing in introspection. So Swami says sadhana is all about introspection. 70% of sadhana is introspection. But for that, the right direction of thinking is important.
People would like to use some of these subjects for gaining a PhD also.
PhD.
Swami knows that they make it academic.
Yes,
academic.
Absolutely.
So for intellectual gymnastics only.
Gymnastics. And we have, I think we, and in the world today, I think there are enough number of research work that has happened on matters like this, isn't it?
Swami says you get into acharanam and anubhavam.
Yes.
Practice and experience.
Yes.
Without that, all this philosophy is full loss.
Absolutely.
Full loss. In fact, the moment you try to practice, as you're practicing, the insight comes, you experience. And a person who does that, he stops. You'll see the talk will be less.
Yes, absolutely.
Talking about anubhavam also, taste that and enjoy that contentment that you derive from this. Swami used to give the one example of Sarvepalli Radhakrishna, the great scholar and philosopher. He said, for all that greatness and philosophy that he has mastered and preached, at the end when his wife passed away, he was seen wailing in public on the gun carriage when the body was taken. What happened to all this philosophy? So he is very particular that we practice and experience it for ourselves rather than get into the intellectual knowledge gaining only exercise.
In fact, what we say, sir, many times Swami is testing us. Swami is our antaryami. He knows where we are, what we are inside. It is for us to know where we are. When the test comes, we only know, because we might be thinking, we are absolutely fearless, we have understood, we had it, we have absolute. But when the situation comes, it is for, it's a gift actually, for you to know where you stand, actually. And once you know, it's sort of, you cannot blind yourself to the experience, because it is something that you are experiencing. Having experienced that, you change your course of doing things. Otherwise, you will remain in that ignorance that I know. I know, and you'll think you know, but actually you don't know.
Absolutely.
So it's a blessing in disguise.
So as you're saying, that test is for us to get an idea of where we stand. It's not for God to know.
No. God knows. He's antaryami. He knows every.
So every time we think Swami is testing us, means it is basically Swami is allowing us to get a complete idea of where we are, how we have to proceed, how much of introspection we need to do, how we have to buck up in our spiritual path. In our
sadhana. Otherwise, we'll be happy discussing about it and we'll keep smiling at each other and we think... That's why the situation... Situation is what actually brings out.
Absolutely. So, here you have Bhagavan who, after saying that, don't get into the nitty-gritty of how the name and form came into being. Instead of that, try to get the essence.
Essence of it.
And there Bhagavan brings in this whole concept of Indrajalam, where Swami says this Nama Rupa Prapancham is also called Jagat. And Indrajalam is a very interesting word. It is like...
Jala means what? Jala is a net.
Net.
Jala
net.
Means. And Indra is a synonym for God.
God's net.
God's net.
It's a God's net. Yeah, absolutely.
And Jagat means what, Brother Bishu?
Jagat, that what Bhagavan has
Jagat.
Said.
Okay.
Everything that means one, Ja is come, sorry. Gat means go.
Gat is goes, yeah. Okay. Which comes and goes.
What it
is.
Comes and goes.
Comes and goes.
That
continuously changes. That is Jagat.
Basically, everything that's continuously changing, and that's what this Prapancham, this whole world is about.
Actually, even if you look at the Jagat, if you look at Prapancham, God has made these five elements. The elements of ether, air, fire, water, and earth. Earth being the most grossest. Ether is the most subtle.
Yes.
You know? So, and for that, to perceive that, God has given us the five senses. The senses of ear, skin, eyes, tongue, and nose. But these are things which are having form. Okay. Our sense organs have got form. The elements have got a form. But what gives it a meaning is the experience of sound, yes, the experience of a touch, experience of a vision, yes, experience of a taste, experience of a smell. Okay. It is an experience.
Shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandha. Yes.
So elements are there. Every form gets the meaning because of experience. Correct. Otherwise, there is nothing. So even in the prapancham, no, there is a meaning.
Yes.
It gets meaning if there is an experience. Mm-hmm. Even if you look at a grosser reality, we are talking about God's rupa and nama. Mm-hmm. So without a bhava into it, no, without there is bhavam, it is.
Wonderful.
So many of us know, because when I joined as a student here, Swami was like a guru at that point of time. Gradually, you know, the feeling of she's my divine mother, Swami. We many times write, okay, dearest Mother Sai. Okay. So the feeling of that feeling, that bhavam was most appealing to me. And that's how I could connect with Swami, yes, the maximum. Yes. So many of the people, it took many years for me only to define a bhavam for me. Without a bhavam, it is like, okay, we are worshipping, we have kept a photograph, we put flower and all that. But until you have a feeling, it can be a Maitri, it can be like a friend, it can be like a father, who's a strict father, or it can be like a Hanuman's attitude of like, Lord, your word is life for me. You say this, I'll do this. That Dasya Bhakti. So without defining a bhavam, no, we are just we are spending years without having any meaning of our life. So it's very important that we give a meaning by defining a bhavam. I'm talking in terms of when we worship God, there has to be a bhavam. We have to identify a bhav. If there is no bhavam, no. And it's not that we have to stick to. Now, of course, currently it's Mother Sai. It evolves. It might change.
Yes.
The intensity in which I relate to Swami. Swami ultimately says, I and you are one.
Correct.
Which I had shared once. Like Swami directly gave me that anubhavam, that I and you are one. There's no separateness. I'm your Atma Bandhu. I'm your Atma only. Not even, Bandhu is again, there's a separateness.
Mm-hmm.
So to that extent, the bhavam has to be there. But still, I would rather be an ant enjoying the sugar than say that I'm sugar. I'm still enjoying the ant. And Swami, I would like to be ant for some more time before I realize I'm sugar.
Yes.
So I'm in that state of mind right now.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. Lovely.
Really love this.
I mean, in fact, that is what we will come to towards the end, where Bhagavan is telling there's so many people like that who associate with one particular attribute of the divine, and that is how all these names of the divine come.
Yes.
You know, he is Prema Sagara, he is the beloved, he is my best friend, he is Karuna Sagara, he is
Apad Bandhava.
Apad Bandhava.
Actually, talking about formless, it can really become dry.
Yes.
If you don't know really to go within and introspect on that.
Yes.
So for that reason, we being in human form need something in human terms.
Exactly.
A form, a name. And there is so much joy derived from this also.
Yes.
Not just, you know, like any worldly pleasure or anything. When you take the name of Rama or Krishna, the name and the form, when they merge in us and our love for that form and name, the experience is explosive.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. So here Bhagavan is saying, so this Nama Rupa Prapancham is what is Jagat. And so I say it is real only as long as you see it. And here Bhagavan brings in those two words, Sat and Asat. So here Bhagavan is saying that we say Sat for existence and we say Asat for non-existence. So whatever we see, we feel in the wakeful stage, we say Sat. And whatever we do not feel, something that perhaps happens in our deep sleep stage, we say it is Asat. Because whatever we can, as you refer to the senses, so whatever we can
experience
tangibly, palpably feel, we say that is Sat. And then whatever we are not able to perceive consciously in that tangible manner, as you mentioned, that we say asat. And so there Bhagwan brings in the beautiful word of sadasat.
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 Sat plus asat.
Sat plus asat. And Swami says this is what is called as maya. In fact, in one discourse, Bhagwan said that Adi Shankara, when he was teaching about Advaitam, and in fact before that, I want to share something. Swami also mentions there that Advaitam is the most powerful, explosive, as brother used, explosive concepts. You know, it is the most grandest philosophy and principle to live by. And Swami says, for you to understand this, live this and practice in your life, it is not for the weak-minded. It is for those who have nerves of, muscles of iron, nerves of steel.
Yes.
It is not for the weak. It is not for those you who are not able to handle little things in life. It is not for those that you want to, who could not deal with the pressures of the world, so I will go and take sannyas. It is not for that. It is not for them. Advaitam is the greatest adventure that any man actually can embark on.
You cannot contain. You will be destroyed actually.
So, it needs everything that you can muster and much more. So, it is such a grand philosophy and understanding. So it is not for those who are chicken-hearted. So spirituality is for the, and that's why Swami says that you don't think that if you fast, then you can be in a better position to concentrate on God's ways. No, because if your body, first of all, nourish your body.
Yes.
If your body is not nourished, if your mind is not active, if your soul is not energized, how can you even understand and contemplate on this concept? It is impossible.
Yes.
Because these are the highest expressions.
First meet the common minimum program.
Yeah, common, absolutely.
Yes.
First,
you have to purify the base.
Yeah, first get your, first of all, have that instrument in a working condition.
Yes.
But in the same breath, I completely, if I were to just share my thing, what you said is perfectly right. But however, in whatever state of mind a person might be, however dejected or however down he might be, however beaten up by the life he might be, it is never late to take up this path.
Oh yes.
He is always eligible.
Absolutely.
It is not that we are saying you're not eligible.
Yes.
What we are saying is it is not like a overnight you take an injection and you go there.
Yes.
Okay. It is a process. It requires patience. But anyway, the weakest, even the earthworm is eligible for that experience of ultimate. So nobody is less.
Nobody
I'm sure. I mean that people should know, because a person who is down, they'll be in a negative frame of mind already.
Yes.
If they were to hear, they will misinterpret that way.
True.
That is never said in that perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, where Bhagwan also mentions it at another place that, you know, when we say man also as an animal, Swami says jantu. We say jantu. Jantu is what is referred to as an animal.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami says jan refers to everything that is born. So jan is that is born of a mother, Swami says.
Womb.
That has come out of a womb.
Okay.
So because any living being that's come out of the womb of a mother is a jantu.
Okay.
You're also jantus, but jantu nam narajanma durlabham.
We are
special naras.
So going back to that, so Bhagwan says when Adi Shankara was talking about Advaita, and so that is when he talks about Brahma Satya, Jagat Mithya. And here Bhagwan very beautifully said that Adi Shankara did not say Brahma Satya, Jagat Asatya. He could have told Jagat Asatya.
Yes. It is not Asatya.
Swami says because there is Satya in the world.
Yes.
Because as earlier what we have discussed in the previous episode, the screen is the sat. The screen is permanent. The images come and go. Images are constantly changing, and that is what is the world. And what is the false thing. But the false world falls on the satya only. So there is satya.
That is the basis.
That is the basis.
Even the false jagat cannot fall on.
So jagat is not asatya because there is sat in jagat. The prakriti, Swami says, is a cloak on the Paramatma. The cloak of the Paramatma is Prakriti.
Yes, yes.
So there is Sat. So it is not Asatya. So the world, that's why Swami, it is Sat. That's why it is Sadasat. Satasat. It is Sat and Asat. Both are there.
Real at the same time, unreal.
Unreal. Real at the same time, unreal. And that is where Swami says, that's why he used the word Mithya. Because Swami says, Mithya means that generally in normal parlance, we refer to Mithya as false. But Swami says, actually Mithya means that which is neither true nor untrue.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is Mithya. So that which is between truth and untruth, which is true untrue, that is what is Sadasat.
Really.
So, can you give an example? Like, for example, in the twilight, they say we see a rope and we think it's a snake.
Yes. Yeah.
So, though it's not a snake.
Yes.
But you really experience as if it is a snake.
Yes.
Though it's a rope.
It's a rope. Yes.
So it is. So at that moment, the experience is like it is neither this neither that.
Correct.
Okay. And that's what the twilight is. Twilight is neither full day, neither full night. You can't say it is this or that. It is somewhere in the middle. It's a gray zone.
Correct.
That's what it is.
Correct.
Mithya is that gray zone.
Mithya is that gray zone. Absolutely. So I think that was something very interesting. So you can't dismiss the world because there is truth in the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And through this only you can attain.
Through the world.
Correct.
Yeah. You can attain the Sat.
Yes.
And Swami says that, you know, whatever we are seeing around us with our own eyes, it gives the impression that they are all true. But what we think is true in the next moment vanishes. And we don't see it. And when we don't see it, the same thing, what we thought was true, we now think it is untrue, just because we cannot see it. So what was seen some time ago comes back. Then what we thought was untrue appears to be as true. Thus, you see that some of it appears as true, and when that disappears, the same thing becomes untrue. Therefore, to describe that which is true and untrue, truth and untruth. So that is why the word Sadasat is what is used. And I think that is something very, very interesting when you're trying to understand this concept of Advaita and Brahmam, Satya, Jagat, Mithya. So here Bhagwan very beautifully talks about that. And Swami gives another word for that. Now Maya. So Maya is something many times we think of it as negative.
Yeah, yeah. Many people think Maya.
Maya is negative. I mean Maya. But here Swami says the other word, the Sadasat is what is referred to as Maya. So again, that Maya is a creation of God. Swami says God is covered by Maya all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It is the cloak that he has put on himself.
How is it different from a mirage? It's not the same, right?
Mirage.
Mirage is something that appears.
Yeah, it appears.
When you go near, it doesn't.
It doesn't. So it is like that. The world also is a mirage.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dream until you awaken to it.
When you wake up, yes.
Until you awaken to it, it's a dream.
Okay.
I think when you go near to it, no, as in a synonymous, if you had to say, after living through some time, no, long enough, you'll realize.
Yes.
Because you would have run so much.
Yes.
Then gradually the realization dawns. It's all dry. Swami says, the Maya is. In a beautiful example, he says, it's like a salt water. The more you drink, the more thirsty you become. You're drinking, why do we drink water? We are drinking water to quench our thirst.
Yes.
But the irony is, the more you drink water, more thirsty you're becoming. Because the salt is there. So, the man today is trying to satisfy himself with the world, and the more he satisfies, still his desire is increasing only. It is not reducing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it's like a salt water drinking.
Mm.
You have to remove the salt from the water, then you can, that salt, Swami, equates to desire.
Desire. True. Mm. Beautiful. Mm. Beautiful. In fact, how to deal with this Maya, Swami gives many beautiful examples. And of course, the famous story from Ramayana, where Rama, Lakshmana and Mother Sita are in the forest. And Swami says, in the forest, you don't have big pathways. So it's a very, very narrow road in the forest because it's just, you know, one or two people walking, and you have a road that is carved from the footsteps of
people. Literally walking on a narrow path. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Swami says that, so when Rama and Mother Sita and Lakshmana were walking, it is always be in this order where Sri Rama would be walking first, followed by Mother Sita, and then
Lakshmana behind.
And so Swami says that so Sri Rama is the Paramatma and Mother Sita is the Maya.
Prakriti.
And Lakshmana is the Jiva.
Jiva.
Jiva. So Swami says, now, if Lakshmana has to have vision of Rama, if he wants to see Rama, if he wants to go close to Rama, what are the options that Lakshmana has? Lakshmana cannot fight with Sita. Lakshmana cannot revolt against Sita. Lakshmana cannot get angry with Sita. Because Rama is covered by Mother Sita. So the only option, or he has to move away. And if you move away, then you're moving away from the path.
Mm-hmm.
So what the only option, decent option that Lakshmana has is to request and pray to Mother Sita. Mother, can you please move aside a little bit so that I can have darshan of Lord Rama.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother Sita will definitely oblige. She'll be only be happy to allow Lakshmana to have the vision of Rama.
Very true. Actually, even I read somewhere that in spiritual path also, when you want to attain, you have to reach the Lord, it is the mother who has to intervene. She has to tell that you please bestow your grace on your devotee. Only then the path is cleared for you. That's what I...
Through the prakriti.
Yes.
Yeah, we are reaching the Paramatma through the prakriti only.
Yes, we have to.
So dealing with Maya, in fact, Bhagavan has given so many methods to deal with Maya. And so Swami says, there are four methods of sadhana to deal with this Maya. First is to discriminate and distinguish between things which are permanent and things which are transient. So this is something that we have to constantly keep doing in our lives. Whatever we are experiencing constantly, I think if you live with this awareness that this too shall change. Yeah, this too shall pass. This is also going to change. This is also going to change. Then, you know, slowly we'll develop that feeling of not being too attached to whatever is happening around us.
Mm-hmm.
Second, sadhana Swami says, is to give up the enjoyment of the consequences of your actions. So, Swami says the essence of this statement is to tell us that the events which we consider as pleasures are transient under all circumstances, and the enjoyment of such material pleasures is likely to cause an illusion that they are good, but in reality they lead to sorrow and pain in life. So give up the enjoyment of the consequences of your actions. Swami says, you know, it is like when you drink water, the same water comes out again as your sweat, as your you precipitate, I mean, water comes out of you again. So Swami says, similarly, you are what you are because of your karma, but again through karma only you can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
The same water again comes out. So karma is the way. But the thing is, you have to give up the enjoyment for the consequences of your actions.
Here one point I want to ask, because see, most of us are result oriented. Okay.
Yes.
And in fact, the result is what keeps us excited. We want to, you know,
yes,
engage in action.
Yes.
Now, what exactly you mean when you say that we should give up our interest on the result? Means how do we, like, for any youngster who is listening to this, no? He might misunderstand. He might miss one example I remember Swami had given, which gave me a right perspective of what you're saying, is like when you're playing tennis, don't keep looking at the scorecard, okay? Because you're losing the interest in the concentration.
Yes.
And the more you look at the scorecard, I mean, the poorer you'll perform. I think I believe that is the perspective that you're telling, right?
Yes.
Your joy should be in the action, not in the outcome of the action. Because outcome automatically comes, whether you are interested or not.
Yes.
Every action has got a outcome.
Yes.
So our whole motive should be how best we can perform the action.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
And when we see life as a worship, as a dedication to Lord, to someone whom we love, you obviously would like to give the best, right? So whatever you do, plan, the whole planning, the whole execution should be meticulous and perfect.
Yes.
The result anyway will come. I mean, we don't have to, but most of us are, we want 100 out of 100, or we are looking at the score, or we are looking at a pat on the back, or we are looking at some raise. Mm. I mean, that's the motive. And if it is not happening, we lose interest in the work.
Mm.
So the trap is, if that's what Krishna also says, that the result is not in your hand.
Yes.
Result is, I decide how the result has to come. Your only, the only thing that is in your hand is your purushartha, yes, your self-effort.
Yes.
But when it is told, many people sort of, especially youngsters, they misunderstand saying that, hey, without result-oriented or without ambition, no, there's no drive to work.
Hmm.
There has to be a tangible benefit. Otherwise, we are not driven.
Absolutely.
So that is
absolutely,
that gap has to be understood clearly with the right perspective.
Oh, yes. I mean, for example, just trying to extrapolate on what you mentioned. If I am doing a particular work at X level of efficiency, say, and I know that, you know, if I do it at, say, another 20% more, 1x to, I make it 1.2x, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, you know, I know my boss will be happy.
Yeah.
And I'll get my promotion.
Yes.
Okay. So there I am working towards that. But if I think, no, this work, for me to do it really well, you know, I have to put 2x effort into this, then that work really happens. I have done justice to this work.
Work, yeah.
Because I'm not working only to please this boss. I'm doing this as an offering.
Offering, and it gives automatically inner content, the contentment.
Yeah, I want to do it. I want to do it the best way it can be done. This is one moment which I've got, and I want to do it well. Then you leave the results to God, because you have done it for God and you have done it to the best of your ability. So you may get a promotion, you may not even get a promotion, it doesn't matter. But you have done your job to the best of your ability,
mm,
and you have dedicated it to Him.
Here is what immediately comes in my mind. Gita Vahini, the way Swami praises Lord Surya, okay, mm, he does his Swadharma, okay, mm, he's 24/7, he's doing. And because we know Swami is Parabrahman, okay, he's God. So even for when I was reading Gita Vahini, I felt like Lord Surya, okay, he's God, okay. Hmm. But how lucky, Swami is proud of you. And Swami is praising you, okay. See how selflessly Bhaskara does his job, you know.
Yes.
Irrespective of what is happening, whether somebody praises or doesn't.
I mean, there is not even one day in our entire calendar where we dedicate one day, we'll offer our gratitude to
Lord Sun.
Without our day, there is no day for us. We would not even wake up in the morning.
Pratyaksha Devata for Kali Yuga.
My own personal observation also on Swami. He is the only Lord who has praised every other Lord. He has sung everybody's glory. Yes. The way he sings bhajans, the way he leads the bhajans, you see.
Hmm.
How he sings about Rama, how he sings about Govinda Krishna Jai, Vaheguru, Vaheguru.
Mm.
Oh, wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mm. And if you really see, you know, sir, actually at that moment what struck me really is Lord Bhaskara,
yes,
Lord Surya is doing his dharma.
Yes.
So what struck me is if you do your dharma, no,
yes,
that's it. Lord is proud of you. You made him happy.
Yes.
That's it. What else you want?
What
you know, one is grace. If you do your part perfectly, to the best of your ability.
Yes.
That's it. You made him happy.
In fact, you know, even to take an analogy, the World Cup is going on. I was just reading about Shakrib, right? The Bangladesh batsman. Bangladesh are actually not the favorites for the World Cup, you know.
Mm.
They are among the top, among the lower order of the cricketing nations. They are the minnows. But you have this all-rounder who has made such a big name for... He's the highest run-getter now in the World Cup,
mm-hmm,
you know. And you ask him how he's been able to do. He just says one thing, you know. I treat every ball as per its merit.
Oh.
I'm just giving more time now to every ball. I'm concentrating more on how I should treat this ball. I'm not thinking about, mm-hmm, you know,
scoring.
I'm not thinking about, am I going to make my 100? I'm not thinking, okay, last time I made 110. This time I have to make it 120. I am not thinking about anything else. I'm only looking at that ball and that moment. And Swami says that present is omnipresent. So Swami says, if you live in the past, like you are living with a baggage, you know, which cannot be corrected. If you are living in the future, then you are uncertain, as Swami says. So only when you are in the present, you are in the now.
Yeah.
And that is That is the moment of
only in the
true
last
living. Yes.
two decades maybe. What I have seen also is that the highest of the sporting achievers also talk about this being in the present.
Being in the present. Yes.
I have heard Sachin Tendulkar talk about it, Rahul Dravid talk about it,
and
MS Dhoni talk about it. These are all top achievers, and they also talk about being in the present and taking one ball at a time.
At a time.
So you get into a zone actually.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So there is a tremendous joy in being in that zone and you being nobody and something else operates through you.
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, this is probably the answer to your question as to what is the motivation for me when there is no aspiration for any end result.
Yeah.
The result will see for itself actually.
Yes. Yes.
If you go through the process.
Correct.
The joy of this going through the process.
Because actually in this process also there is less chance of dissatisfaction because you know you have done what you can to the best of your ability.
Correct.
And you are not doing it, you know, if I had thought that, you know, today I have to go and I have to hit a century, then if I hit 90, I'll get disappointed. If I hit 95, I'll get disappointed. If I come out with 20 runs also, I'll be disappointed.
Mm.
But if I have gone with the idea that, you know, I will treat every ball at its merit and I will do whatever I can.
Hmm.
So it does not matter. I have done whatever was needed for the team. Whatever is supposed to happen that day has happened. Maybe that is not the best day for him to get the century.
No, this cricketer also talked about, you know, when you are in the zone, the movements are all very, very correct and natural.
Okay. Yeah. Something else has taken over.
Yes, something else has taken over. And there is a joy in you being witness to that problem.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you being a witness.
In fact, I think Michael Jackson once told that first I dance, then I become one with the dance.
Yes.
Because there's no difference between him and the dance. You become the dance.
Yes.
So here also, when he's saying I am in that one ball at a time, he becomes the cricket. He becomes that. So I think that thing of becoming, in that zone when you enter, you have that single-pointed concentration and you lose your identity.
Mm.
I mean, that's where it's called karma yoga. Yoga is what? Union.
Yes.
Into the process of karma, that is action, that God has given this maya as an opportunity to function.
Yes.
Okay. So when we are functioning and when we are at the present, when we are absolutely in the, whatever you might be writing, you might be eating, it's called mindfulness. Many people use the word mindfulness.
Yes.
You are absolutely in the present and there's a magic, a moment when, you know, you are what you are at that moment.
Yes, absolutely.
You are neither in the past, neither in the future.
And I think so. That is one way. When you are in the present, you are actually trying to connect with the Atma.
Yes.
And that is the way to.
Means that time, the connection takes place. It's not like trying. It just happens.
Yes.
Because trying is many times I have tried meditating.
Okay.
Yeah. First thing I get headache actually. I get a pain because here between the eyebrows, it starts throbbing and it becomes difficult.
Yes.
But then I read somewhere Swami has told that first you have to start with concentration.
Yes.
Then comes the contemplation. Then comes the meditation happens. Mm-hmm. If you say that I was sitting for 2 hours for meditation, definitely you will not be meditating. Because a person who meditates, who actually in the meditation mode, he loses sense of time.
Absolutely.
If you are keeping track of time, definitely you are not meditating. And so one thing is concentration. That's why the rupa to akara, the form. No, that's the thing which Swami says. You choose your ishta. It can be Krishna. It can be Bhavani Ma. It can be any form.
Mm.
Look at the form. Look at the eyes.
Mm.
And luckily, when God comes as an avatar has a story, a life. Mm. You contemplate on all the incidents that have heard. And even if you're looking at Swami's face, there's so many incidents which are there, which you are contemplating. And moment comes, you're out. I mean, you've become. So that is a moment of meditation. It happens.
Absolutely.
People don't understand the beauty and the joy a devotee derives from worshipping a form. Swami also said that worshipping the formless is the ultimate aim, goal. But before that, you have to go through the form. You are yourself in a form.
Correct.
If you directly go to the formless, it is dangerous.
Dangerous.
Enjoy this. Automatically, the divine takes over.
In fact, what we imagine as formless, experience, anubhavam is formless.
Mm-hmm.
The experience of love, the experience of joy, that experience is formless. What we think is the form, we are seeing a statue or a photograph and that disappears. Mm-hmm. No, it is not what we think.
Mm-hmm.
It is the joy that comes, the bhavam that comes, is that form of, and that transports us into that state of formlessness.
Right.
But if you try to do a mental visualization, with mind, you can never, never it will happen.
Mind can never control the mind.
So always it's a, even Bhagavad Gita says very clear, it's only the journey from Rupa to Akara.
Yes, absolutely.
Without that, no, it is, or of course, sometimes some gurus, they come and tap, that's a different, and Vivekananda shouted, no, I want, I want to go and meet my mother, and it's, that's a different thing.
No,
it's not
a lot of things have to culminate for that.
Absolutely. And when you talk about Maya also, many times, you know, people say that, you know, I am caught in this Maya. You know, I am caught in this world, and there are a lot of attachments, but, you know, I am caught in this mesh.
Correct.
It's a common
thing. What to do? I can't come out of it, you know.
We are caught or we are catching it?
Yeah. So I think that is something very interesting, because here Swami says, you know, one way to get rid of Maya, Swami says, is Mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam is basically, Swami says, that when one's own house is burning, all attempts on that person to save himself from the burning house is called Mumukshatva.
That intensity should be.
It is like when one is burning in the fire of one's karma, you are burning because you're entangled in this birth cycle of birth and death. You're burning in this fury of karma that you have created, and when you try to rescue yourself from that fire and save yourself, that is Mumukshatva.
Wow.
We want nothing else other than that.
Imagine you are in a house and a fire, what will you do? So if that intensity is there, as he said, so that is what is Mumukshatva.
I think that's why the rocket, they are able to break out of escape velocity, you know? Because the fire is, without that fire, no.
Not possible. We'll
be like aeroplane only, flying and landing up and down.
Yes. It is a fire.
Intense fire which...
escape velocity.
Escape velocity is...
absolutely. And so Swami says that, you know, if you are able to have detachment and not think that some people belong to you and some people do not belong to you, and recognize that the only truth is the Atma, and get out of this fire of samsara, that is Mumukshatva. Very difficult to really all the time practice, but we should definitely take those steps. And Bhagavan very interestingly says, actually this is very easy. When is it easy? As brother mentioned, Swami says, when you have an intense desire to achieve this, then there is no path easier than this. Provided you have the intensity, Swami says, then there is nothing more easier than this. It is just, you should have that intensity.
No, Swami used to say, the eagerness one shows towards the world, if only you can show that towards God.
Yes.
Oh my God, what you can achieve.
Absolutely. I have a taste, sir. When I was a small kid, there's a Jungle Book, Mowgli.
Yes, yes.
I remember when the serial starts, wow, suddenly I see time, half an hour is over.
Yeah.
Means I thought this is 5 minutes. Okay. Yeah. Now looking back, and sometimes as I grew older, I used to read war novels of Alistair MacLean.
Yes.
I'm reading in the front room. Just 5 meters away, mother is calling me.
Yes.
Mother has called me 2-3 times, and suddenly she comes and takes the book. I said, what happened? I have been calling you for 3-4 times. Said, no, then I verify with my brother. Is it true? He said, yeah, she was calling.
So
then it's like an instant, that faculty of concentration is there actually.
Yes.
It is there. We have experienced it. It's not an imaginary thing or a philosophy. It has happened in my life. So definitely, as sir told, if it is the same thing, potentially can happen towards God also.
Absolutely.
So the faculty is already there, and I've experienced as a kid, I was fascinated with cartoon, grew up novel. So definitely that faculty is there. It has to be channelized towards the God.
Absolutely. And Swami says that it is actually, in reality, easy to give up things than to hold on. Just like you're holding on a tumbler is difficult than leaving the tumbler. Holding on is actually difficult.
I keep showing that, you know, that,
kerchief.
Holding on to it is more difficult than just dropping it.
But there's a very beautiful anecdote that I heard about Adi Shankara. One day, Adi Shankara was walking through the marketplace with his disciples. And so they see a man who was dragging a cow by a rope. So seeing that scene, suddenly Shankara tells that man to wait, and then gathers all the disciples around him. And Adi Shankara says, I'm going to teach you something now. Tell me, who is bound to whom? Is the cow bound to the man, or is the man bound to the cow? The man was pulling the cow. So all the disciples, without hesitation, they said, of course, the cow is bound to the man. Because the man is pulling the cow. The cow has no freedom. The man is the master. The cow has to follow wherever the master takes him. Then Shankara said, okay, now watch this. Shankara took a pair of scissors and he cut that rope. And when he cut the rope, the cow began to run away. And when the cow began to run, the master began to
running behind the cow.
Running behind the cow. Now Shankara said, see what is happening now. So tell me, who is the master? The cow is not at all interested in this man.
So what appears is not true always. World is yes. That's Maya.
The cow is in fact trying to escape from this
escape,
man.
Escape, yes.
You are
yes.
thinking you have control.
Yeah.
Actually not.
But that thing has more control. So he says, like the cow, all that nonsense that we carry inside, that nonsense is not interested to be inside us actually.
Hmm.
We are interested in it.
Yeah.
We are carrying it.
Hmm.
And we are saying we are caught in the world. We are saying this is Maya. We are saying we are attached. But actually none of those things are interesting. Are interested in us actually. They want to escape.
They want to run away.
We are holding on to them.
Yeah.
We are holding
very powerful example. Mm. Very, very powerful example.
Yeah. So the moment we lose interest in all the garbage that is there in the head, and the moment we understand the futility of it, then it will start to disappear. Just like the cow, it will run and we'll be free. Cow will be free.
In fact, here very two powerful analogies are coming. One is like one teacher had asked Swami, boys had asked how to change the habit, bad habit. And Swami took out one envelope and he rolled it in one direction and Swami gave back.
Yes.
Swami told open it. He opened it, rolled back. Then Swami took back and Swami rolled it in the reverse direction. And Swami told, see, now it has become straight. So if you want to change a habit, don't fight with the habit.
Yes.
You start a new habit. Okay, that is one approach. The other approach Swami had told in a different instance is, suppose you're holding a cobra, thinking it's a rope. It's very soft and all that. But the moment you realize it is cobra, no?
Yes.
Okay, suddenly power came and you saw it's actually cobra. What will be your reaction? Will you leave it slowly? You will just throw it.
Yes.
Okay. So these are the two habits, two things. As you said, the cow, that moment the snap took place, cow. So there are certain things we should just let go like that. And we have the ability to do it.
But some
things are, because of the force of habit, it continues. So instead of fighting with the habit, you start a new habit.
Yeah.
Even if it is slow, gradually this will shed off. Before you know, and that is the beauty of a human birth, that with conscious effort, and that's why probably we are absolutely different from any other animal.
Yes.
Animals cannot change their nature.
Yes.
We as human being only can change our nature. Is by conscious effort and of course with faith in divinity, we can change any habit.
Yes.
We can come out of it.
Yes. We can really use the power of discrimination to go higher.
Yes.
Which is not there in any other.
Little effort.
Yes.
Little effort. And that effort gives the momentum.
Yes.
Without effort, no, it's.
Absolutely. To come out of the Indrajala.
Indrajala.
No, that's when we take recourse at the feet of Bhagavan.
Yes.
Because we cannot also do with self-effort certain things.
No. Lordship means again. He'll
so we pray to him in various, with various names.
Yes.
And in all his aspects, his attributes.
And that's what Bhagavan talks about, the attributes.
We call him
Bhaktavatsala.
Daya Sagara,
Kripa Sagara. Swami, you help me.
Mm.
Please forgive me. Supposing it's a mistake you have committed and you are not able to get over that.
Yeah.
You say, you forgive me.
Forgive me.
Swami, please show your
Kshama
Sindhu. Yes.
Prayaschittam Papa Vinashanam.
These are the attributes of God. Actually, there is no attributes.
Yes.
But attributes are given to him.
In fact, what is very interesting here, Bhagavan is saying is, the name and form came from the attribute.
Hmm.
Yeah. Attribute is what gives
attribute
the name.
Attribute is what gave the name and the form. So that is very interesting.
Swami says that Raminchetuvadu Ramudu.
Yes.
The one who pleases all is Rama.
Because he pleases all, you know that this supreme creator of this Maya Jala is someone who is very easy to please and is the most attractive one. So let me, for that attribute, let me call him Rama. And for that Rama name, this is the form which really fits that name. So I create that name, that form. And then I worship that form. And as you said, we develop a kinship towards that form. Since you love that form and you love that name, so God says, okay, let me come and show, appear myself in that form, because this is the form that he connects to. This is the form which will give him blessings.
If you look at any of the gods and goddesses photograph, no, see the beauty, see the assurance,
yes.
You know, the Ashirvadam. In fact, you look at Swami's photograph, Swami is the only god you see with both the hands up. The Abhayastam. You see which other god gives, you know, both the hands. Have you? I mean, rarely would have seen any god putting both the hands. See, Swami gives absolute assurance, I'm there with you. So,
as you said, the other gods and goddesses are the imagination of Ravi Verma Swami.
Ravi Verma Swami, yeah. Yeah.
But here you have a real form right in front of you, and so much so that you don't want any other form now. Even if Premasai comes back, we want only this form.
In fact,
Premasai should come in this form.
This form.
This form should not have left. That's what every devotee.
When someone asked Professor Venkatraman about Prema Sai, he said, "I know only one Sai, and he's full of Prema." This is Prema Sai for me. So, but what is really very interesting is, you know, every attribute is what defined the name and form of the Lord, and I think that is the reason why every name of the Lord is so significant.
Yes, absolutely.
Every name of the Lord is so potent with meaning. It is because that is the basis for the form. That is the basis for the name.
Yeah, Stotram on Swami also.
Yes.
Each name, it really fits him. One form, one figure in front of us.
Yes.
You can call him by any name and
like someone, respond. Someone, for example, can just take each name of the Ashtotram Bhagwan and create 108 forms of the Lord. Like you have 108 Ganeshas.
Somebody asked Swami, why so many names? He said, "No, it's not because I need so many names. But because your attention span is so less. Out of 108, at least one you will, with attention you will call me. So I can respond. Yeah. I am ready to respond.
Yes.
But I need a call from you.
Right.
So 108 calls, 107 can be missed calls.
At least one proper call.
Call is enough.
Beautiful.
Amazing. Beautiful. Wow. I know time is running out, but otherwise you would not want this satsang to end actually.
Wonderful.
It's really nectar when you contemplate, and I'm sure, you know, if after 6 months you read this same thing again, you will get something else.
It will be different, yes.
It will be something else. Something else. And that is the beauty of all the names of the Lord, all the messages of the Lord. The same Rama has given nectar to millions for centuries, and it continues to give.
Living with God is education.
Yes.
We have not really done any of these readings earlier. But as we read now,
yes,
having lived with Him,
yes,
everything comes like a living experience for us.
Absolutely.
All the words, at every word that Swami has written here,
yes,
every word you can relate to Him physically.
Yes.
That this is what He was and He will ever be, always be, eternally.
That is the boon we have, that, you know, even as you read the scriptures now, because you have lived with the source of the scriptures, you can connect to everything that is written. Because you can see in reality how the scriptures manifest, how the scriptures function.
One thing here, no brother, just immediately struck like this, which I want to quickly share, is like, they say along with the medicine, the patyam is also important.
Yes.
Okay, so no doubt we chant His name and we'll have all the feeling. But at the same time, we should practice purity in our life.
Yes.
Otherwise, it is like you, a person suffering with malaria, give him gulab jamun, it will be bitter. So, many people know, Swami has given an example also. It's like, there are many people who are like housefly. They love sitting on the sweet, they love sitting on the dustbin also. Okay. You are enjoying both. It's like a housefly. But you have to be like a honeybee, which will only sit on a flower. It'll only sit on the flower and enjoy the nectar. It doesn't go and sit in the dustbin. Yes. So that paradox, if somebody is saying, for years I've been doing Namasmaranam, for years I've been attending bhajans, for years I've been, is probably that other side of patyam, the diet that we should maintain. Diet in the terms of what inputs we allow.
Otherwise, it's like
plus minus happens, you're neutralizing.
Yeah, neutralizing. Otherwise, what is happening is you're having a tank, you're filling water, but at the same time there are holes.
Yeah, that is one thing. Or you're having every time you pray, you're expecting Divine Mother to pour milk, but you have a lot of curd also in the vessel. So before sunrise, everything has become curd.
No, as you said, Swami himself every now and then he would come and chide.
Yes,
the students in the hostels give a nice thrashing.
Yes.
Shed all these cobwebs.
Yes.
And then forgive once for he says all in every discourse he will say in the hostels to the students, forget the past. Past is past. Mm-hmm. Make a new beginning from now.
Start fresh.
Yes.
Start.
So it's not as though I have committed a sin, I am condemned.
Yes.
No.
There is a chance for a new beginning at every moment.
Every
particularly
moment.
With Swami. Yes. That is a hope for you. At the end of the discourse, all are forgiven.
Yes.
You make a new beginning.
Start your journey on the greatest adventure of life.
Yes.
Wonderful. So thank you so much, brothers. And
thank you so
let's pray to Swami that He continues to bless us with this chance to swim in this nectar of Sandhya Nivarini and all the Vahinis. Dear listeners, if you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. We are happy and only eager to listen to you, share your journeys, your insights, your moments of bliss of walking on this path. You can also send us your comments to the WhatsApp number, our WhatsApp number 9393258258. Once again, 9393258258. Offering at His lotus feet this session that He gifted us out of His mercy and compassion, and praying for His continued grace as we walk on this path to one day become one with Him. Thank you so much. Sairam.